significance and mechanical determinism are mutually exclusive. You might want to just write that down, and then I'll explain it to you. But human significance, the fact that human beings are important, okay? That, you know, because deists believe humans are very important. And then their view of mechanical determinism, that everything is a predetermined machine, including humans, those things contradict each other. Yet they're two of the essential tenets of deism. That humans are significant, are important, yet humans, like the universe, are machines and everything's been predetermined, and it just doesn't make they just contradict each other. Either humans are significant and free, or we're predetermined and we're just machines, we're just bolts in a bigger machine. Point D, scientists no longer view the universe as a giant clock. Point D, scientists no longer view... Oh, you guys have this written down already, don't you? And here I'm taking my time reading it. They no longer view the universe as a giant clock. In other words, the universe isn't just this big clock or big machine with all the parts just working and they have to work that way. They acknowledge that, no, the laws of nature are descriptive, not prescriptive. They describe the way things generally occur. They don't prescribe the way things have to occur. Okay? In other words, this idea of a closed universe, where we've got it all figured out, that modernistic, deistic view of the universe has been thrown out the window. Unsolved mysteries, okay? Unsolved mysteries would not have been successful in the 1920s or 1930s. Because, you know, we were just basically, well, maybe they, it wouldn't have been, but things were starting to happen with Einstein and relativity and Heisenberg's principle of indeterminacy, which would later on pave the way to where all of a sudden we began to once again focus on the mysterious aspects of the universe and life. Okay? So modernism, we've got it all figured out. There are no mysteries. Any mysteries that are left, given enough time, we'll figure them out. Postmodernism and New Age type thinking as well, and Eastern type thinking, the world's a big mystery, and we'll never figure it out. With Christianity, it was the world's a big mystery, but the God who created us revealed a lot about it and has given us the ability to find out some more about it. But in the end, only He is going to fully understand. You know, there was that humility. The deist threw that Christian humility out the window, and that led to atheism, and now it's giving way to anything goes. So all of a sudden, you know, if people think they're communicating with spirits of the dead, then, oh, maybe it is. Who knows? You know, and blah, 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 just... At the universe is just wide open to intervention, to aliens, the possibility of aliens from other planets being entertained. And but whatever the case, scientists no longer view the universe as this giant machine or giant clock. And then point E, if God created the universe and the laws of nature, then miracles seem possible. You know, the greatest miracle would be creating everything out of nothing. If He could do that, then it seems that He could intervene and supersede the laws of nature. In fact, I would go even a step further, and I would argue that if God cared enough to create the universe and cared enough to create rational beings, human beings, then it would seem that He'd want to communicate with us and get our attention. So it seems to me that the three theistic religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, are very consistent in that they acknowledged the existence of a creator, but they also acknowledged that this creator can perform miracles. Deism, I think, is contradictory to acknowledge the creator, but then to say that he either cannot or just chooses not to intervene. It seems to me that he would both have the ability to intervene, but would also be willing to intervene to catch our attention. I'll just do a little bit of, turn to page 6. Now, a little bit of an intro on atheism. Under the banner of atheism, we're going to look at naturalism, which Sayer covers from pages 54 to 64, Marxism, nihilism, page 75 to 93 is Sayer. He covers existentialism. Then secular humanism is Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2. We might get a chance to look at that next week. But let's take a quick look at naturalism. You know what I didn't do? And we should do before? No, we covered enough on... let me just say this about, and maybe I'll do this. We'll save naturalism for next week. We'll deal with atheism next week. Let me just say this about deism. There's a philosophical argument against miracles that atheists use, but it was an argument that was started by deists. It was popular among deists. And David Hume argued that no reasonable person would accept an exception to natural laws. Okay? In other words, Hume would say, okay, well, through induction, we can't rule out the possibility of miracles, but miracles, by definition, are very, very rare events. And there's not going to be a whole lot of people that witness them if they do occur. A reasonable man is going to accept what he sees and what most people report. So he argued that no reasonable person would accept a miracle, an exception to natural laws. Benedict Spinoza went a lot further than that and argued that miracles violate natural laws, and the natural laws cannot be violated. His view of God, Spinoza's view of God, was that the universe, God didn't freely create the universe. It necessarily flowed from him, so that any interruption in the laws of nature or superseding of the laws of nature would be a blemish on God. And since God is perfect, the world is perfect, and miracles can't happen. Either way, with either one of these views, it was an argument against miracles. Now, we already talked about natural laws are descriptive, not prescriptive. They describe the way things generally occur. They don't prescribe what can or cannot happen. But basically what it comes down to is this. God is above the laws of nature, so he can supersede or interrupt them if he so chooses. Okay? God is above the laws of nature. He can supersede or interrupt them if he so chooses. Once someone accepts the existence of the God of the Bible, automatically miracles are possible. Was that? It's just the idea. In other words, deists left the theist camp because they thought miracles were impossible. But miracles are only impossible if you're outside the theist camp. So in other words, their reason for leaving the theist camp was an assumption. It was an unproven assumption. It was And see, the thing is too, is some of David Hume's arguments, he argued against miracles because they're so unusual. And some have used his principles and said, well, if that holds for miracles, it also holds for historical characters. And they showed that because Napoleon Bonaparte's life was so unique, we should reject his existence. And, you know, I argue that miracles only make sense. You know, if God's trying to catch your attention through a miracle, they only make sense in the background of natural events. See, a supernatural event only sticks out and catches your attention, like Christ's resurrection from the dead, if most dead bodies stay dead. So, and so some atheists and some deists would say, I'll only believe in Christ's resurrection if all bodies, or if lots of bodies, came back to life. But then, so in other words, I'll only accept a miracle if it's not a miracle. I'll only accept a miracle if it happens all the time. Well, if it happens all the time, it's not a miracle. I'll only accept a miracle if it has a natural cause. Well, if it has a natural cause, it's not a miracle.
So what is the bottom line of David Hume's little statement there? Like, no miracles can exist unless you believe miracles can exist?
Basically, what it comes down to is, he told the kind of, the only way he'd accept a miracle, you'd have to have these types of eyewitnesses. Well, number one, the apostles in one sense, the apostles meet the credentials that David Hume put out, but now in another sense they didn't. But in that sense, the sense that they didn't meet his qualifications for eyewitnesses that he would accept as far as miracle claims, but the only reason why he rejected that was because of his deism already. In other words, if you're a modern intellectual man like me, a modern rational man like me, you would never accept miracles. Those are miracles were just primitive man who held to superstitions. So then he said, well, what kind of eyewitnesses would you have to hear from in order to believe that miracles occurred? Well, they'd have to be eyewitnesses like David Hume. But in other words, the only... Hume equated being cultured and being educated and being an intellectual with being a deist. So the only eyewitnesses of miracles that he would believe would be deists. Well, deists would never be eyewitnesses of miracles, would never admit to being eyewitnesses of miracles, because deists don't believe in miracles. So he's arguing in a circle. He's assuming that the newer the idea, the better, that the old ideas are automatically false, that people 2,000 years ago were automatically primitive and uncultured and superstitious. Okay? So he's assuming they were superstitious who believed in fairy tales in his attempt to prove that the biblical miracles they reported were fairy tales. So, yeah. And the idea that the newer ideas are better, well, what does that say for deism? It's dead and gone.
Right.
Christian theism and Jewish theism and Islamic theism, you put those three together, you're talking about more than half the people on the planet Earth. You're not going to find anywhere near that number when it comes to deists. So, in fact, there's a lot of people whose Christianity borders on deism. But for all practical purposes, deism as a movement is dead. We'll look at that now. Just keep in mind, I'll close with this. Christian theism led to our confidence in human reason as a gift from God, but eventually we got overconfident in human reason, and that led to deifying reason and deism. And then, but then you have the absentee God. What's the difference between the absentee God and no God at all? What's the difference between the irrelevant God and no God at all? In the end, there is no difference, and so that gives way to atheism, naturalism, that all that exists is material, and the only causes that exist are natural causes. So we'll deal with that next week.